Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
So good to be here, man. So good to be here. But, I think we just got to always take the opportunity to look around and realize how great the stuff we get to do is. Like we are at the best church in the whole of the world. I'm biased, but that's all right. And we get to do this together. We get to hang out with Kappa himself. We get to, you know, do our thing. It's very cool. Pastor Shane and Georgie, thank you so much for the opportunity to come and hang out with the Melbourne West family. Isn't it good? You guys are cool. Only half of you are excited. That's all right. I'll fix that in 25 minutes. We'll get it worked out. But it's great to be back at Melbourne West. Pastor Christian doing an amazing job leading. Let's give it up. Isn't it so cool? And the team you've got on the ground here is fantastic. We got Aaron Forward preaching in Melton today. It's pretty cool. He's saying he's having fun, but man, you guys are so blessed. My name's Ash. I'm the pastor out at Enjoy Melton. I'm here with my beautiful wife, Norma, who she's officially on the Enjoy Church preaching team now. How cool is that? She preached at Melbourne City last week. It was actually really trippy because I was sick in bed last Sunday. It never happens. And I'm like, I'm in bed and she's going to church with Harper to preach. I'm like, what? Like, what world am I living in? It's like a bizarro world, you know what I'm saying? But it's good, man. God has been so good to us out in Melton. We've just added a third service, which is starting in 15 minutes. And we're just trying to make room for everything God's doing. People coming in, getting saved and going to Grow Track and Alpha Course and getting water. How good were the water baptisms on Easter Sunday, by the way? You just check in social media. There's like a million people water baptized across Enjoy World. And it's awesome, man. I love what God is doing at Enjoy Church. Not just West, not just Melton, but North and East and Hobart and everywhere. God is really on the move. And it's truthfully one of the most healthy seasons we've ever had. God is doing amazing stuff. And, you know, we love Pastor Shane and Georgie. We say, rest up, enjoy the hour rest and come back when you're ready. We're taking care of it while you're gone. We're excited for you to come back. And it's good, man. I love this church. Life is good. God is good. Can I get an amen? Come on, my beautiful baby girl Harper on the front row doing her mathematics. She's like, what's 26 plus 26? I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, that's what a calculator's for. She's so much smarter than me. But life is good. And I don't know about you, but this season in God has truly been so good. I feel like the last 6 months, like, it's just been awesome. Like, I found myself just kind of more easily just touching heaven. Like, I'm at home and I put on some whatever, and then all of a sudden I'm on my knees worshiping in my lounge room on my day off. I'm like, what is going on here? I open my Bible and God's speaking to me. I start praying and he reveals things to me. Anyone else in this season, I'm just feeling like there's this great stuff going on. And I've been thinking about God, thinking about who he is, thinking about what he's about, thinking about his character, thinking about the power of God. We kind of forget the power of God. I mean, spending time in prayer, spending time in worship. Oh, anyone love worship? I love worship. You know, I love songs of worship and of praise. And, you know, I've particularly been just looking at songs and lyrics over the last little bit. And, you know, if you rewind way back to the good old oldies, way before good time oldies, Gold 104, like right back to the Psalms, Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. How's the picture that's painting? Psalms 46, this is a promise. Hey, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Does anyone get excited by the words of the psalmist, by what this means? Are you with me, church? What this means? I got a tip for you. We're going to get interactive today. We're going to get excited. You're not allowed to sit and watch. I need you to throw things at me. I need you to wave your hands at me. Otherwise, I'll send Will to beat you up because he goes to the gym now. But I knew Will before he went to the gym. How's that? But the psalms are awesome. The old hymns are beautiful. As a deer panteth, who loves his song? So my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. This is where we've got to live. You alone are my strength, nothing else, my shield. You alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Oh, I love the old hymns. One that reminds me of being on my grandma's lounge room floor as she's playing the organ is before the throne of God above. I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. Behold him there, the risen lamb. That's a revelation in itself. my perfect, spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself, I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood, that precious blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God. It's so powerful. So powerful the hymn, so powerful the psalm, so powerful the old school praise and worship, majesty. I think last time I was here, majesty. Worship is majesty as the, for thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. You know what I'm saying? All these songs. Or we can get to my favorite at the moment, Ron Canole. Come on, let's get it up. Let's get going for some Abel Laboriel, Justo Amaro, some gospel funk. God is able. Come on, it's the title of my message today. It's the song for the season. God is able. Anyway, modern day worship, way maker. Come on, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Who believes that song? He's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. When you sing that song, it does something in your heart. It does something in your spirit. It connects you to heaven. Jesus, shepherd of my soul, in every high and low, through it all, you lead me. I was saying to the first service, sometimes I wake up in the morning and my little girl's brushing her teeth, singing that song, and it's like the coolest thing ever. Jesus, shepherd of my soul. It's like, oh man, is there a better way to wake up in the morning? You know, and you look at all these songs, all these psalms, all this stuff, they're actually all saying the same thing, and the thing they're saying is God is able. The thing they're saying is God is able. God's able to do whatever. It's who he is. He can do it. He's got power over it. He can create the world just with a few words. God, can I get an amen? God is able. God's omnipotent. He's all powerful. God's omnipresent. He's everywhere. God's omniscient. God's omnibenevolent. God's omni. He does it all. He's got it all. However you want to say it, whatever you want to say, it's all words. And all the words are saying God is able. God is able. No matter what's going on in your world, God is able. He's your way through. He's your way round. He's your way over. He's your way under. He's your way there when there seems to be no way. He's whatever is required. God is able. God is able. And I really think we just got to, you know, I need you guys to go away from today knowing that God is able no matter what. That's where we're going to land. But we got to challenge the way we see God. The picture, and we got to see him for who he is, because he doesn't change, but sometimes we don't quite see him and perceive him the right way. Now, let me tell you a story. It's a bit of a silly one, but it makes sense, right? When I was a kid running around Sunbury in a matching tracksuit like he did in the 90s, in a pair of killer Aero Sports, remember I got from Dimmies or whatever, and the most killer mullet you'll ever see in your life. I had a sick mullet, man. It was awesome. Business at the front and very much party at the back. But when I was hanging out in Sunbury as a little kid, I had something called a spud gun. Anyone remember a spud gun? Are you serious? Give us a spud gun. So if you don't know what a spud gun is, it's this little gun and you stick it in your pocket and you get a potato, a spud, out of your mum's kitchen. She's like, why is there holes in the potato? But you put it in your pocket and then you go find your sister, yeah? And you get the spud gun, you stick it in, you pull the plug out, you stick that at your sister's head and pump that thing and shoot her, and then she screams and then your mum tells you off and you're like, come on, man, it's a tiny bit of potato. It doesn't hurt that much. Like, remember the spud gun? Back in the day, I used to play around with the spud gun. But then a few years ago, one of our regional locations who remained nameless, I went to preach at his location and he grabbed this spud gun shooting city boy and he grabbed his shotgun and he chucked us in the ute and we're going out hunting. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, are we allowed to? Do we need to check with RSPCA or like what are we getting, some ducks or deer? Or he's like, no, we're going hunting for some rabbits, and we're driving around for hours looking for rabbits. There's no rabbits. Took me to all the hot spots where the rabbits live, no rabbits. Looking for birds. We're trying to find birds. There's no birds. So we end up, after like 2-3 hours of driving, we pull over to an old dirt road. He puts a Coke can in the middle of the road. I pump that shotgun and bang, I took out the Coke can. It was awesome. I'm like a trained Coke can assassin. The CIA were ringing me up saying, we want you to take care of some beverage issues we have. You know, like I've got it happening. But the shotgun experience is just a little bit different than the spud gun experience. The shotgun's got so much more kick. The shotgun's got so much more power. It's a lot more capable. Unlike a spud gun, I'm never going to point a shotgun at my sister, no matter how many of my M&Ms she steals. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going anywhere because I'm aware of how powerful it is. If someone's breaking into my house and I wake up with the sound and I've got a spud gun and a shotgun on my bedside table, I'm not going to call out, give me a couple of minutes while I go get a potato and then I'll be with you and take you out. I'm pulling out that shotgun and I'm going to jail. You know what I'm saying? Like, church, the world gives up. I hope that's okay. I don't know. The world gives us, the reason I told you it was a silly analogy, but you get in the picture. The world gives us a whole bunch of spud gun solutions to our problems. The world gives us a whole bunch of spud guns to pretend to defend ourselves, spud guns to protect ourselves, just a whole bunch of potatoes and spud guns. But let me tell you, in the things of God and the things of life, God is the shotgun. God carries the shotgun power, the power to take things out, because God is able. He's able over our circumstance like a shotgun is versus a spud gun. Pastor Mick's looking at me weird. It's all right. Bear with me, man. Whatever we need, church, he is able. Well, he can do it. He has the ability. He has the power. And I was looking through my message yesterday. I was reviewing it. I'm like, man, I probably should put a few points and stuff in here, but I realize this message has only got one point. I hope that's okay. I'm a simple guy, so I keep things simple so I can remember it. My point is God is able. That's it. God is able is my point. That's the point of today. That's what I want you going away thinking about, remembering. God is able. I'm going to come at it from a bunch of different perspectives, but God is able. God is able. God is able. Because it's what he is, and we've just got to believe it. God is able no matter what's going on. Through history, through our lives, he's always proved himself. I think sometimes we get caught up in like the future things we're anxious about. The things of tomorrow and the next day that we're worried, is God going to do it? Can he do it? But if you actually stop for just more than 3 seconds and think about the last 5 years of your life, you realize the amount of times that God has been able, the amount of times that you've found yourself in the same place, and then sure enough, God makes a way through. God is able, church. No matter what's facing you in the coming weeks or days, God is able, the same as he was last week, last month, last year. Can I get an amen? He's always been able. He's always proved himself. Especially in the Word of God, you can see great stories. Think about Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel's like, I'm not worshiping any other God. So they throw him in a lion's den where the lions are supposed to eat him. But the lions don't eat him. They turn into a pillow and a blanket. You know what I'm saying? He wakes up the next morning and his enemies are thrown in. God is able, church. In that same way, God is able. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Even if you feel like you're in the lion's den, if you feel like your enemy's right on top of you, God is able, church. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. He'll turn your enemies into a soft 3,000 thread count Egyptian cotton hotel sheet blanket, just like he did for those lions. Because God is able. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, same thing. They won't bow down to an idol, so they're thrown into a furnace. That's the end, yeah? You're in a furnace that burns you. But no, they don't burn. And God's actually standing there with them in the furnace. They come out of the furnace. They're not burnt. Their clothes aren't burnt. Their eyebrows aren't singed. They don't smell like smoke. Church, God is able. God is able. God is able. He'll stand with you in the fires of life. You won't get burnt in the fires of life. When you come out of your situation, when you come out of the circumstance, you're not going to smell like smoke. And what's that mean? That means that the stuff's not going to affect you. You're not going to have residue from the battles you went through, because God is able. He'll stand with you. Are you with me? Who's believing it? Who's picking up the point of today? God is able. You look at the story of Israel. I've been doing a bunch of study and reading of the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament, man. It's cool. And Israel, God's chosen people. And you look, God's just always able. He's always making a way. He's always with them. And Israel is us. It's us. He's with us. You look at the Battle of Jericho. We all know this. They went around 7 times. But Jericho, one of the most fortified cities of the time. They go around, they circle it 7 times for 7 days. Then they shout and the walls come down. There's no explosives. There's no special machinery or tools or things they used or very specific strategy. It's like God is just able. No bulldozers, no explosives, just God is able. Just God is able. You look at the story of Gideon, and I love this one. I find this one kind of ludicrous, right? Gideon's like this small kind of crew and there's a massive army. And God goes, all right, what I want you to do is, I'll translate to modern day. I want you to go grab a torch and grab a plastic bucket from Bunnings and crawl down next to this army, the couple hundred guys versus thousands. And then on my cue, I want you to yell out, shine your torch a bit and crack your bucket in half, and then you're going to win the victory. It's like, what are you on, mate? But they go down there, they yell out, they shine their torch, they crack their bucket, and sure enough, they have the victory. And I think the thing it's trying to say is that we don't need special tools. We don't need special training. We don't need an army. We don't need swords. All we actually need is just the word and a promise from God and faith he's going to do it and step out where it doesn't make sense because God is able. He'll overcome. He'll give you what you need. He's got a promise and it's for you. God is able to do what he's promised. And maybe you're saying, yeah, I get what you're saying, but that was way back then. But what about me now? Well, there's a verse that says, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means the same God that was able back then is the same God that is able today. That means the same God that was able in your grandfather or grandmother's generation is the same God that's able today. It means the same God that's able today is the same God that's able in your grandkids' generation, your great-grandkids' generation. Doesn't matter where in time we go, God is able. God is always able. He'll always be able. Are you with me, church? He'll always do it. God is able. I told you at one point. Maybe you're saying, yeah, I believe you, but there's no lions, there's no furnaces, that stuff's not real, no one's getting thrown into furnaces, there's no wars going on, there's no tanks rolling down Sunshine Avenue on my way to church, there's no tanks in Ballarat Road, like, I think there's been some tanks in the car park putting some mud puddles, but anyway, but yeah, it's true in the natural, but not in the spiritual. You see, Ephesians 6:12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. 1 Peter 5 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You see, church, yeah, there's no tanks in our streets. There's no wars going on in the western suburbs. But there are lions' dens. There are lions. There's one like a lion. There are furnaces, they're enemies. There's wars raging, but just not in the natural. They're in the supernatural, in the unseen. If our eyes could be open to what's actually going on in the supernatural realms, we'd be amazed. Because right now, right here, right now, there's a war raging for your soul. Right here, right now, there's a war raging for your marriage, for your kids, for your brothers, your sisters, your parents, like whatever it might be. There is a very real war raging for the souls and future of you and your friends. But the thing you got to remember in all of that is God is able. God is able. Doesn't matter what comes against. Doesn't matter how big it might seem. Doesn't seem how surmountable it might be. God is able. Whatever tries to burn you and make you smell of smoke will have no victory in Jesus' name. Whatever tries to lock you away and feed you to lions will have no victory because the name of Jesus is greater. Whatever battle is going on in your emotions, in your mind, in your finances, in your relationships, in your intellect, in your education, in your health, whatever area it might be, God is able and he'll fight for you, church. He'll give you what's promised. And what is promised? Well, peace. His name is Jehovah Shalom. Peace shall be yours in your church. Joy, it says not only will he have joy, but our joy will be our strength. His joy will be our strength. Blessing poured out and running over. That's the kind of life that God is calling us to have. Protection. He's given angels charge over us. Healing by his stripes. Favor, head and not the tail. Opportunity, he'll go before you. Friendship. You're called into family. That's what it's all about. We've got to grab a promise for whatever we're believing for. Literally just Google it, man. You don't have to like how it worked out. Google it. Google verse for protection. Google verse for healing. And then make that in your heart. Make that yours. Like substitute the negative thoughts. Substitute the fear, the anxiety. When it starts to tell you, go, no, here's my Google verse. Let me read it out. So good. God's good, man. I was reading this the other week in Deuteronomy 28. It says, blessed shall you be in the city and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle and your offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl, what you put your hands to. Blessed shall you be when you come in and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise against you and be defeated before your face. They shall come one way and flee seven ways. The Lord will command, this is cool, the Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouse and in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. It's a lot of land and storehouses and kneading bowls and all that kind of stuff, but the translation to 2023 is God is able. It says God will bless you in all the different ways. The things that come against you will scatter because of his blessing, because of his favor. The things you store will grow and be blessed because of his favor. You're with me, church. Bless you shall be because God is able. And maybe you're picking up what I'm saying and you've known these promises once upon a time, but you've kind of laid them to rest. I think that can happen in life, hey? Acts 2:17 says, in the last days, I'll pour my spirit out on all flesh. Your young men shall see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Let me encourage you, enjoy church, Melbourne West. Dream dreams, dream dreams, dream dreams again. You might have put your dreams down, dream your dream again. Dream your dream again. Don't let those dreams die. Don't let those desires fade. If God, once upon a time, you can get excited, once upon a time, put something in your life, don't let it fade. If God spoke it, he promised it. If God spoke it, enjoy church, he promised it. Don't let it fade. Grab a hold of it, fight for it. He will go before you. It says in Deuteronomy 31:8, he goes before, he will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. He'll fight for you, enjoy church. God is able, despite the letdowns, despite how much faith you once upon a time had. One of the things I'm loving seeing it in Enjoy Melton is lots of people come into our church, because they've been out of church for years and they've had things that God once spoke to them and dreams they once had and stuff on their lives, and it's laid dormant because of whatever's gone down the last 10, 15 years. They're coming to Enjoy and they're coming alive again because they're dreaming and dreaming again. They're seeing visions, they're filled with hope. Enjoy Melbourne West, dream and dream again, see visions, be filled with hope. God hasn't forgotten about it. Today is a new day, the past is in the past. And why is it everything of God? Like, why? How's it ours to grab a hold of? It's a really good thought, because sometimes we're like, yeah, I get it, but how's it mine? Without getting like way theological and talking about grace and redemption and covenant law and all that kind of stuff, it's super, super simple. It's just called salvation. Everyone here is going to have the opportunity to step into a relationship with God. That's what salvation is. You see, in the Old Testament, God was, you know, God always wanted to love and bless his people. And in the Old Testament, he did that via the Old Covenant, which was priests and sacrifices and all this kind of stuff. And that was the way that the people were able to connect with God. But praise God for Jesus and the cross and everything we celebrated at Easter, because that finished work of the cross is the new covenant, the blood covenant, which we now live under. That's it. And we don't need to make sacrifices. We don't need a special priest. We can all step into it. We don't earn this new covenant. We just receive this new covenant. It's a gift that's freely given and it's yours today. Salvation is for all. And it's so simple. Romans 10:9 says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and you will be saved. Saved means receiving salvation. See, this connection to God through salvation is the way that everything he's promised is ours. God is able to receive salvation and it's part of your world. We got to have a paradigm shift, those of us that are saved and receive God. Like, God is able and it's mine because I'm saved. We got to have a mindset change. We got to have a revelation drop in our hearts. We got to lift our eyes and see it from his perspective that God is able and it's mine. I'm not called to live half in, half out. I'm not called to live in a place that's not of victory. Are you with me, Enjoy Church? Not 50%, 110%. Psalms 42 says he brought me out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon the rock. See, we're not supposed to settle for having one foot still in the miry clay, still dangling in the mud, one part of our life still stuck where it used to be. You see, God has lifted us completely out, Enjoy Church, completely out and set us upon the rock. He's put a purpose and a future in our hearts. Your entirety has been lifted out because God is able. You know, maybe I'm hearing some processing right now. I like it. It's good because God's speaking to hearts. Maybe you've had faith or you have faith for what God's promised, but you're seeing a gap between the things that are promised and the reality in your day to day. Though it tarries, wait, church. Hold on to that faith. You know, you look at the story of David, and it's a great example of this because his anointed king, Samuel, goes to Jesse's sons and finds David and anoints him. This is the king. But the thing you may not realize is it's not for 15 years that he actually becomes a king. 15 years. But the thing you got to understand is a promise, church. Once anointed, always anointed. Can I get an amen? You are anointed upon salvation, Enjoy Church. Once anointed, always anointed. No one can steal that or take that from you. You are actually sons and daughters of the Most High, of the God that is able. He's your Father. By birthright, everything is promised is yours. You just got to grab a hold of it. What's He promised you? Well, all the stuff I've talked about, but I reckon we're also, that's like corporate promises, you know, but we've all got promises. We've got things that are written in our journals somewhere. Things that if we lay down in bed at night, we ask God about, He reminds us of the promises. Church, just step out your promise. Walk towards everything God's got for you. Walk towards His destiny. Whatever it is, He's able. As the worship team comes. So we know God's able. Hopefully, we picked that up so far. Like the one point of my message, God is able. Yeah, it's awesome. God is able. I need you to go away declaring that and knowing that. But the question is in the application. Hey, as always, like God is able. He's got promises. He's got stuff for us. But how do we apply that? And I hinted at it before. It's so simple. It's receive salvation and have faith. That's all we got to do. We got to receive salvation so we're connected to everything of Him. We're part of His family. His blood runs through us. And then we just got to simply have faith. And when I talk about faith, I'm not talking about a maybe faith. I'm not talking about a fair weather kind of sort of when it's working for me faith. I'm talking about a real in your gut, in your spirit, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know, deep down, uncompromising, unwavering faith. You may not understand this faith. It may not make complete sense, but that's why it's called faith. It's not supposed to make sense. You have it by faith. You just got to have faith. Have it by faith. And if we're talking about faith, what a better person to look at than the example of Abraham. And I was reading something. I literally just noticed this like a month or so ago. I've read the story a million times, but the story goes, Abraham wants kids, right? God promises him through covenant that He'll father generations and a nation. And then when Abram and Sarai have Isaac, that's the way that the covenant's going to come to pass. Through Isaac, it's going to happen. Then God asks him to go and sacrifice Isaac. So Abraham wakes up early in the morning, takes his son and his servant, and then he jumps off his donkey at the foot of a mountain on this journey to do what God has asked. Even though it doesn't make sense, but he has faith. And Genesis 22:5, and Abraham said to the young man, stay here with the donkey, that's his servant, the lad, that's Isaac, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. I never noticed that in the way I noticed it. See, we will come back to you. He says, we will return. Fully going to go and do what God's asked him to do, fully understanding how it all fits together, but he says, we will return. Abraham says, when he's leaving with Isaac to sacrifice Isaac, you're picking this up. He says, we will return, because he's full of faith. He doesn't say, I will return. He doesn't say, we might return. He doesn't say, he will return because he's stronger than me. He says, we will return. Church, the father of faith had an unwavering, unyielding, unshakable confidence in God's promise. Let me break it down real quick. Like, what had God promised? In Genesis 17:21, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac. That means everything He promised was through Isaac. That was the way God said it was going to happen. And then in Genesis 17:4-5, it says, you shall be a father of many nations. He even changes his name from Abram to Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. You see, it's all going to happen through Isaac. The way that he was going to have the promise and everything that God had destined for him was through Isaac. And you got to notice that when he went to make that sacrifice, he knew all this. He knew the way that you said it's going to happen, God, is through this, but you're asking me to sacrifice that. But despite, we will return because I have faith that somehow you're going to make it happen. Church, God is able. Despite anything else, it will happen. I believe in your situation and circumstances. A bunch of people thinking about things right now. God is able. God is able. In your kids, God is able. In your health, God is able. In your finances, God is able. In your parents, God is able. In your ministry, God is able. In your intimacy with God, God is able. Just have faith. And one more interesting thing about faith, Matthew 17:20. We all know this verse. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you'll say to the mountain, move from here and there, and it'll move, right? It's talking about an amount of faith. And I think it's something we can get caught up on sometimes and feel whatever, but because maybe we have faith, but it's not happening. But you say, if I have a tiny bit of faith, it's like, shouldn't it all be happening then? Well, if you break down the Greek word and in this scenario and what it's used when it talks about the amount of faith, you see, it's not just talking about amount as in size. It's talking about amount as in length and duration. It's not always about the size of faith you have in Joy Church, but it's about how long you can hold on to the size of faith that you have. Yeah. Though it tarries. You know, the way I always think about it is I just got to muster all the faith I can and hold on to it for as long as it takes. Though it tarries, I'm always going to wait. There's so many promises. I'm like, God, I know it's mine. When's it coming? When I'm in bed, I'm like, come on, man. It's taking time. It's Kairos, not Kronos. So God is able. You know, as I was prepping this this message last night, the way I do it is I write a message, and on a Saturday night, I spend time with God. Where do you want it to land? And I'm trying to work out how to land it. And he just said, you've been landing it the whole way along. God is able. Three words. God is able. Although, actually, more importantly, four words or three words and a punctuation. God is able, full stop. God is able, full stop. The full stop's important because there's nothing that can continue after that. Full stop, end of sentence, end of paragraph, end of essay. Like, full stop, end of paragraph, full stop, end of preaching, full stop, end of discussion, end of conversation. We've got to settle it in our hearts and in our minds that God is able, full stop. We've got to settle it in our confession that God is able, full stop. Don't be like, yeah, and then start saying things that don't reflect that. God is able, full stop. Don't leave any room for different mindsets to creep in. Take every thought captive, I should say. Replace it with those promises. God is able, full stop. We need to have complete confidence in God's promise, no matter what, to the very end and beyond. And as I said, his promises start with salvation, for those of you who don't know him. So if we could bow our heads all across this place, just for no reason, but to create a moment of privacy and intimacy, because this is a very significant moment. It's an opportunity for everyone here to step into relationship with God, to say yes to Jesus, to receive salvation. You know, this doesn't mean that life is like all of a sudden perfect. What it does mean is God is with you and he'll walk with you. He goes before you, he's got your back, he'll fight for you, he'll do the whole lot. And if you're in this place, there's two groups of people actually I want to talk to. And the first are those that find themselves at church and you don't know God. You came here invited by a friend or whatever it might be, and you're like, I don't get it, but I'm feeling something because I'm feeling something. God's presence is touching hearts right now, and you're like, I don't know how this works. I don't get how this God thing fits together. Like, how am I supposed to figure it out? Well, I'll put you at ease. You're not supposed to figure it out. I'm still trying to figure it out. You can't figure it out. All you got to know is that God is real and he loves you so much.